Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Everyone, welcome back to On the Air with Brett and Claire.
I'm Brett,
and I'm Claire. We are frazzled today. It's like Wednesday afternoon almost that we're recording this because, as you can see, Sydney is not here. She went home yesterday, and we just did not have enough time to record an episode with her, unfortunately. So hopefully she'll come back, and then we can, you know, record an episode with her, because we had it all prepped and everything. We just ran out of time.
Yeah, we were all over the place, and we were just going like very far distances, and it was taking up a lot of time just to travel, and we just ran out of time. And after each day, we were so exhausted, we just didn't think about it. We were just going to bed.
Yeah, because we were out pretty late. I mean, we're gonna get into what all we did with Sydney, because I don't know, We're almost at the 6 month mark of living in New York. So we thought we would just do an episode kind of about like our thoughts on living here, what our plans are for, you know, beyond this first year that we kind of plan to be here. I apologize if you can hear the dogs, but also just like recap what all we did with Sydney and just kind of have a chat about Sydney being here and our life here in New York. And yeah, that's about it. We're just gonna talk to y'all.
Yeah, we're gonna try to do Sydney justice while she's not here.
Yeah, I wish she could have recorded an episode with us, because I think it would have been fun, and we had some fun things planned. But Mia will be here in August for her 21st birthday, so she will be the next guest that we have on, so y'all can look forward to that in a couple months. But for now, you just get us and the whining dogs.
Yeah, I don't know what is going on with her right now, but I think she just wants attention.
Yeah, even the dogs are all over the place today. It's been a morning, I'll say that much.
Yeah, while we were out doing stuff, we'd be gone all day, and so they would just be here alone, and I think it did a number on them.
Yeah, because they're used to, you know, going out with us often, or like just us being here with them. So
yeah, also sorry about my mic, it is not working. I'm kind of over these little stands we have. We kind of need to get some new ones or figure these out better. Mine keeps drooping, so I'll probably be messing with it the entire episode.
Yeah, I'm always doing that with mine, so I think it's okay.
Mine's just like especially bad today.
Yeah, I guess we can, well, for one, we do need to make some studio upgrades, but with that being said, we can update y'all on that we rearranged our apartment, which is probably not that interesting because y'all can't really see it, like, you know, to y'all, the video looks the same if you're watching on YouTube at On the Air with Brett and Claire, but we completely switched our bedroom with our office just because with our window unit situation, it made more sense to do that. But with that, we have a lot of space in what used to be our bedroom, but is now our office. So we're kind of thinking of ways that we can like make the office a little bit more of a studio space, not entirely, but just have a little setup there that looks better than like us on the couch. So yeah, we're trying to figure out ways to get creative and do that on a budget. but maybe y'all will have that to look forward to.
Yeah, I think it was a great rearranging thing. Normally, like, we tried to rearrange our room once before this one, and I don't know, I think we get hopeful and then it sometimes doesn't work out because there's a lot of little stuff you can't account for, but this time it actually worked out, even though, like, it's kind of weird and quirky a little bit in our bedroom, at least. The way everything is laid out now is a lot more functional.
Yeah, I like it so far. I mean, I like to change up my space pretty frequently, honestly. But I think this was a good change, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah, I like it so far. I feel like I sleep a lot better, just because the AC in our bedroom now is, like, it can actually cool the room down good enough.
And before, like, our bedroom is facing the street, and so we would sleep with our blinds open, and there's a lot of, like, light pollution in the city, mm-hmm. obviously, so it was pretty bright in there. But the other bedroom that used to be our office, it, like, faces just buildings, so you don't really get any light in there, which is nice at nighttime because it's just dark and cold. So, yeah it's and it's also better because, like, if I'm working in the office, I have natural light.
Okay, so Ruby just fell off the couch and almost took down our entire recording setup, so that's great. But yeah, our room is extremely dark, and I feel like I can sleep a lot better because there's not, like, even at night in the front bedroom, the street lights will keep you up, and, like, when you wake up, you don't even need to turn lights on because you can see everything because there's just enough light. And now, like, whenever I wake up, it's really dark and I can barely see anything, and yeah, I can sleep way better.
Yeah, so it's been a positive change, I think. We might move it back when it is winter, but I don't know, we're liking it so far, so this is how it's gonna be. But all that being said, hopefully in future podcast episodes, if you watch on YouTube, we'll have a little bit more of a, you know, cool studio setup.
Yeah, we'll see. It kind of depends on just what we're able to do with the space, because, like, there's a lot more distance from the camera to the couch here, but in there it won't have as much distance, so we have to figure all that out.
Yeah, but that's a long-winded way to just say, like, stay tuned and we'll see what happens. But all right, so let's get into what we did with Sydney.
We did a lot. Well, like, it didn't feel like we did a ton of, like, individual things, but each thing we did took a long time. Like, the first day she got here, this one was a smorgasbord, right?
No, that was the second day. The first day she was here, we really didn't do too much. We just kind of, like, hung out and caught up because I'm not a great texter, so I haven't really been keeping in touch with anyone, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was a lot to be, like, caught up on in both of our lives. So we just kind of hung out here and, you know, showed her our apartment and everything. And yeah, that's about all we did the first day she was here. And the second day we went to Brooklyn to this thing called Smorgasburg, and it's basically like a food,
it's like an outdoor food hall.
Yeah, it's just like a bunch of food trucks, like, all in one place.
Yeah, it's like a pop-up type of deal where they come for just that day or, like, for a certain amount of time. And it was pretty much all the same from the first time we went with Mia, but there was some slightly different stuff there. But it's really good, and it's like a wide variety of everything, pretty much everything you can think of, like, as far as different types of food.
Yeah.
And we all got different food, and it was really good. It was just really hot every single day we were out, so it was kind of, because the outdoor part, it's, like, really just outside, like, the only tents are the ones for the people cooking, and so you're just standing out in the sun and just cooking alive while you're trying to enjoy food. So
yeah, it's definitely getting hot here. There's, like, a heat wave that's supposed to happen this week where temperatures are supposed to get to, like, 95, which, I mean, we obviously moved from Texas where it was way hotter than that, but I just feel like stores and things, like, aren't as air conditioned as they are in Texas. And you also don't have a car to cool off in, like, between errands, and you're just, like, running around the city all day. So it gets really hot.
Yeah. There's, like, no escape from heat here. And I think just all the concrete the buildings being so tall, like it traps air down lower. Like, I don't know. It's really weird and it feels way hotter.
Yeah, it definitely does. But so we did that, and then getting back to Manhattan from Brooklyn, which should not be as hard as it was, but we tried to take the bus. The bus decided to just not be in service at all once we needed it. It was also Father's Day, so it was like really busy out, and I think the transportation was running on a weird schedule. But so we couldn't take the bus. We tried to take the subway. There were like all kinds of crazy delays. We tried to take the ferry. That ended up being like at capacity, so we were gonna have to wait another like 45 minutes for the next ferry. So we just ended up Ubering, but we were like walking all over to all the different, you know, subway stations, bus stops, ferry piers or whatever, and it was just not happening for us. So it took like a few hours just to get back to Manhattan after that.
Yeah, and I don't, if anyone lives here that listens or watches this, if you know what's going on with the buses whenever they're supposed to have at least like 5 to 10 more stops on their route, and then they all of a sudden just stop and they just randomly are like, it's the last stop. Like, if you can let us know what that is, that would be great. I don't know. We were thinking like they're refueling, or I was just saying like maybe they're just ready for their lunch break. I don't know. And they just kick everyone off the bus. But it's pretty annoying, especially when you're far from where you were supposed to go. And yeah, we don't know what's up with that.
But well, also because it's not free. I mean, it's not expensive, but it's also not cheap if you're using it a lot. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like you pay money to get to a destination, and then halfway through, they tell you to get off the bus.
Yeah, and they're not giving you your money back. And then there was also, so where they dropped us off, though, for the last stop, like the random last stop, we were in, like, this heavy Jewish neighborhood. All of a sudden, it was just like, that's what everything was. But we were walking down the street to go to our, like, the next bus stop that we were going to be supposed to go to anyways. And we were just walking in this, we had passed this school bus that people were getting into. And then all of a sudden, like, after we were blocked past the school bus, we hear this loud, like, crash and squeal. And this car had just, like, I guess at the light, whenever the bus was trying to go straight, this car had just, like, shot out in front of it. Or maybe it ran a red light or something. And, yeah, the bus just, like, ran over part of the, like, the basically the front left tire of this car and, like, had popped it. And, like, it was a pretty decent-sized collision. It was really loud.
Yeah.
It scared, like, everyone in that little intersection. Everyone turned around to see what it was. And, yeah, this car was, like, I don't know. It was pretty, like, bad. Like, the tire was really flat and they took off, like, kind of and just pulled over. And the whole front of the bus, like, where it had hit, it like ripped the bumper off and everything, but it was just kind of weird to witness that like car crash.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. I mean, everyone was okay because nobody was going like that fast or whatever, but
yeah, they couldn't have been going that fast, but it was loud.
It was really loud and it was crazy. So we also, you know, witnessed that happen. We're just trying to get back home. We didn't really do much else that day because all of that took like so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we went after that crash, we went to that other stop. After like 30 minutes, it felt like we gave up, went to the ferry. They roll up and they're like, oh, we can only have like 3 people on board. Yeah. So then we didn't make that cut off because there was a decent line. And then we went, we just like walked for a second away from the ferry and we were like, we're just going to get an Uber.
Yeah, we tried because we really don't Uber often unless it's super late at night or something. But public transportation was just not on our side this weekend.
No, we had just, that was our breaking point. It's like we tried every form of transportation, so we're just gonna do this now.
Yeah, the only other option would have been to like walk across the Brooklyn Bridge, but I mean, that's a mile in itself. It was hot. We had already walked like 10 miles that day, so we just,
yeah, we gave up.
Yeah, we took the easier option for sure. And the next day we walked around a lot.
Went to Empire State Building because they have a dragon on top of it.
Yeah, if y'all watch, like, Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon or whatever, we don't, but there's a big dragon on the Empire State Building right now.
Yeah.
So that was cool to see.
Yeah, it's really, it's kind of crazy because it's so big. And I don't even, we were asking ourselves, like, how do they even get it up there? Because, like, it kind of looks like they just airlifted it and just put it right over the little antenna. But I'm sure they constructed it up there somehow. But yeah, it's really, really big, and you could pay like money to do VIP pictures, like go up to the top and like see it really close up. And then they had this room where like the dragon's claws were in it, and it looked like it was kind of like ripping through the windows or something.
Yeah,
it was kind of cool.
We didn't do that, but.
no way, that was too expensive. But also, you'd have to go all the way up to the top of the Empire State Building, and it's pretty terrifying. We haven't been like up in a really, really high building yet, so
yeah, we haven't.
Because like a lot of these buildings, like the elevators run a lot because that's the main way to get up and down huge buildings, and they kind of break a lot, or like they just stop and get stuck, and people will be stuck in there for sometimes a long time.
Yeah, that's my worst nightmare.
So. Yeah, so I'm sure eventually we'll do that one day, but for right now we avoided it. And but yeah, we still had fun. We went to, were we near Central Park? No, we went and saw apartments, right? Like cool apartments.
Oh, well, Sydney wanted to see this townhouse that just sold from one of the Real Housewives of New York. So we went to go see that so she could see it in person. And that was cool. And then we also went to the Comedy Cellar, which is like the most popular comedy venue, I guess, here in New York. So that was really cool.
That was really fun. It had a pretty crazy lineup, even though we didn't know most of them. And it felt like they had changed it once we had got in there. Like I looked online and ended up being like multiple different people from the original lineup. But Michael Che popped in, which he was really funny. And like the main guy for the whole thing was Dave Attell. And then there was a couple others in there. I don't remember their names, but they were super funny.
Yeah, but I agree.
It also kind of inspired me. I'm thinking about maybe trying to write jokes and see if I can even do it. I'm sure I won't be that great at it, but I don't know. It seemed like fun to see if I can make jokes that I can tell on stage that are actually funny. Because some of them, they had great jokes, but some of them were, like, they weren't that great. And I felt like maybe I could find a better joke than that.
I think you should do it. Everybody's going to start somewhere and it would be fun.
Yeah, and it's just a hobby at that point. But if it took off, that'd be cool.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I still have to work up the confidence and I have to actually write jokes that I can try out, so we'll see. That's just a thought I had.
Yeah, makes sense. Sorry, I'm trying really hard not to say yeah because I got called out for it, so I'm trying to find other words to like tack on to yeah at least, but it's hard. Yeah is like such a good filler word, but I know it's annoying to listen to.
Like a lot.
I don't think it's too bad.
I mean, I feel like everyone's vocabulary, like I just did it again, but everyone's vocabulary includes like a lot nowadays, at least for our generation, so I'm not too worried about it. But it's just on like the podcast, I think it sounds kind of bad sometimes.
Yeah, it's hard to listen and edit and be like, oh my gosh, I use so many filler words.
One, like, I'll just add it again, but like our apartment is small, so whenever she edits and I'm just trying to do something else, usually I'm cleaning up the like the podcast studio stuff, and I'll hear our voices and I try to ignore it, but you kind of can't because it's so loud.
It can be painful sometimes, like it's hard. I don't know, it's just hard to listen to yourself talk for an hour, because sometimes you just, there's things that you're like, why did I say that, or I wish I would have added this in here. Because once the camera turns on and the microphones are set up, sometimes my brain just goes blank because it's way more challenging than you would think. Ooh. To formulate thoughts on the spot, like when you're kind of aware that there's an audience that's going to listen to it. Like, it's not just the same as a casual conversation, even though that's the whole point. But
yeah, we're by ourselves, but as soon as it turns on, it does feel like we all of a sudden have this audience, and it's like, yeah, we might as well be sitting in a studio, like with a stand of people watching us, you know?
Yeah.
it does get I remember the first couple times we did this, it was very nerve-wracking, but I think we're a lot better now. But it still doesn't feel completely comfortable to do this. It's still kind of weird.
Yeah, I agree. We're getting more and more comfortable. All right, in typical us fashion, the camera decided to stop recording. So as we're talking about, oh, we're going to have a new studio set up, and for the YouTube watchers, it's going to be so great. Now you don't get a YouTube video this week because there's just simply not enough time. And also, I don't know what's wrong with the camera. So we have to investigate that and get it working.
Yeah, there's like always something wrong. with the camera, whether it's running out of battery, overheating, or randomly the SD cards just say they're full and they can't record anymore, which is frustrating because Claire like deletes everything off of them after we're done each time, and still somehow it's like, oh, not enough room.
Yeah, so yet another technical difficulty, you know, another week, another difficulty. That's just how it goes, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, enough about our problems. I do apologize to the YouTube watchers, but next week should be good. Knock on wood.
Yeah, hopefully it's good. But yeah, where were we at?
So we went to the Comedy Cellar, and that was really cool. I highly recommend going if you're in New York. We got to see a lot of cool people, and it was really funny. They definitely pack you in there like sardines. Like, you're so close to everyone around you. So if you don't like that, I don't recommend going. But
yeah, and it was just a really, it's a really small venue because it's just the basement of this building, and it, like, from the stage to the back of the room was, I don't know, less than 30 feet.
Oh, easily. Like, maybe cool. 20. Yeah, it's cool because you get to be so close to everyone performing, but yeah, it's definitely small, and they definitely pack you in there.
Yeah, because they were, y'all were saying that it could fit, they try to fit like 500 people or
no, 150.
150? So, yeah, 500 was that thing from that boat. But yeah, 150 people in this room, and I don't know. It seemed like it could maybe hold around 80 to 90 people, like, at that.
Yeah,
that.
It's definitely a small room, but that was fun. Oh, excuse me. And then we also did a boat tour, which I loved. It was really cool.
Yeah, the boat tour. Like, we've done the ferry rides, but the ferry's not a tour. It's just literally transportation on the water, and you just happen to be able to see the skyline. But those don't run like at the good hours, really, for like sunset, and they won't take you over to the Statue of Liberty, and so you can't really see the skyline with all the lights on at night. And it was just extremely pretty, and the tour guide was really good too.
Yeah, I learned a lot that I didn't know before, and it was really cool. And we've like seen the Statue of Liberty from far away, but we haven't been up close to it. So the boat takes you like, you know, 10 feet, 20 feet maybe. I don't know. Like, it takes you pretty close to
it.
No,
it wasn't that close.
Okay, I mean, well, it was close enough to like really see it.
Yeah, it's not as big when you're that close as you think it's going to be. Like, from a distance, it seems bigger. So yeah, the Statue of Liberty up close is a lot different. It doesn't seem as big, but it's just still really amazing. And personally, I was, I don't know, it felt inspirational to see it because it's such a big symbol of our country, you know, like as far as it stands for freedom and like pushing through things and creating what we have today. And it was just really cool. And then you turn around and you can see the whole skyline of New York City. And it was, I was just like, this is the, what, the financial capital of the world.
Yeah,
and it was just kind of, it was amazing. I don't know, it was really cool.
It was really cool because we haven't seen, I mean, we've seen like buildings at night obviously, but not from afar like that, because on the water you can really see the whole skyline, and to see it all lit up at night, it was just really cool. So I would definitely recommend that tour because it was super inspirational. And then the tour guide sang the Frank Sinatra song, and it was beautiful, and I cried.
Yeah, and I really didn't have an appreciation for that song before. Like, it's a good song, but I didn't really, it didn't hit me that way. And then whenever she sang it, because she had a really good voice too, like, she did a good job, but she sang it while you're looking at all this stuff, and just something clicked in my head that was like a different feeling of like, there was this one line in there where it's like, if I can make it here, I can make it anywhere. And I was just looking at the skyline, and I was like, this is just an amazing place. Like, it represents so much, and we're here, and I don't know, we have a lot of opportunity to make something different in our lives happen, you know?
Yeah, which leads us into the latter part of this episode of just how we're feeling about New York and if we want to stay, if we don't. Just our overall thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to stay. I know you do.
Yeah, spoiler alert, I don't want to leave ever. I love it here.
Yeah, and there's so many, like, even when we were taking Sydney around, we saw parts of Brooklyn we hadn't seen before, and they were awesome. We were like, oh, this is like a really nice area. Mm-hmm. And we before, I mean, we've talked about how we don't like Brooklyn very much, and I think we've kind of changed our mind on that a little bit. And yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of different places we can find to live here, and we, like, I want to make it happen. I think we just haven't, like, my take on it is that we haven't fully changed our mindset, as far as it still kind of feels like vacation a little bit, and I think that's why it's gone by so fast, is we're just having fun, and it just, it almost, like, time does not exist when you're just running around doing whatever you want to do, you know?
Yeah.
And then also our lifestyle, like the way we, like financially speaking, we haven't completely changed to, like, I don't know, the level of income, and like, we're not, I don't think we're prioritizing the right things as far as what we're doing. I think we're still, again, it's like vacation mode.
Yeah. People always say that, like, your first year in New York is the hardest, and you don't really enjoy it, and you don't really even know, like, what you're in for yet, or, like, you just don't have, I don't know, like, it's just such a big city, and it takes a while to, like, really get your routines established and, like, just get your day-to-day life in check. So I feel like we're definitely still working on that, and I think that's definitely a true statement, because it is, I feel like you could move from anywhere to New York and it would still be a huge change, but, like, especially coming from, you know, Granbury, Texas, like, it's obviously really different. So I think it just takes some time to adjust, but I also don't think it's been hard, like, in an emotional sense. Like, I haven't struggled with that adjustment at all, because I really like just the energy that's here. I mean, it's a huge change, but I love it, and I definitely don't want to leave it.
Yeah, so, yeah, the energy here is, it's amazing, and even when you're just walking around, you just feel like, you look at everyone around you, and everyone's just on a mission constantly, and you'll hear people on the phone, just on the subway, running around, like, they'll be fast walking full speed, and they're having, you know, business conversations over the phone, like, everyone's, you're always doing something and trying to figure stuff out, and I think it's kind of intimidating for me, at least, the, I don't know, it feels like pressure to have to make more money, because it is expensive to live here. Mm-hmm. But also I keep trying to remind myself that, we're still trying to figure out who we are completely and what we want. And like before, when I was working really hard and, you know, we were making money to have a good lifestyle, it was, I felt like the pressure was not, it felt like really strong pressure, and it was like weighing on me a lot. But I think that's because what I was doing was not necessarily my passion. And I, now if we do something and work really hard, but it's our passion, I feel like that stress I felt, it'll be different. It'll just, like, it'll be something I want to do. I just, the problem has been, what exactly is my passion? Because I still don't fully know what that is.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we've said this before, I think that's a big part of why we moved here, was to kind of figure that out, because there are so many options, but we've also said this before, it's like decision paralysis, like, we just, there's so many things to do that we don't know, and, like, which direction to go in, so it's like, I found some passions here, but it's like, which one do we really run with?
Well, I've looked into, like, I've researched and found things that we could do, like, business-wise, but I don't feel any passion for them. It's more of, like, this thing we could make, you know, money off of, and but we'd have to put a lot of work into it, but I don't, my heart's not there. And so, that for me, that's the hard thing is, yeah, there's, like, lots of things you can do, but I just don't, like, I don't know. I really am aware now if I am into whatever it is or if I'm not. And I haven't felt like a strong attraction to one thing or another. It's just been like, okay, well, these are just to make money. And
yeah, I feel like you're caught up in, oh, I need to make money, so what can I do to make money? And not like, what am I really going to enjoy doing?
Yeah, but that's the hard part, because like, we have to make kind of a lot of money to make this work long term. And so that's the hard thing that I have not fully, I don't know, figured out. Because just it's a hard emotional thing too, because it's like I want to enjoy what I'm doing, or at least have a passion for it. Because whenever I'm not enjoying it, if I'm passionate, I won't, it won't be like, okay, well, I just want to get out of this and go do something new. It'll be like, I'll stick with it and I'll deal with the stress, because it won't feel the same way.
Yeah.
So everyone says, you know.
I think in the meantime, we just need to make money somehow. And then the money from the passion projects hopefully comes later.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. It feels like we're kind of running out of time, like, because we're halfway through this thing already.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it went by so fast. And it just, yeah, I feel a little overwhelmed by the kind of the things that have to happen before we come into the end of this lease and we have to figure out what we're doing.
Yeah, I think we're starting to feel now how most people feel when they first move, because, you know, we moved here financially stable enough to, like, be able to make it work for a year. And now that we're halfway through the year, I think we're both starting to feel like, okay, well, how do we stay now, like, beyond this 1 year? Because we don't want to go somewhere else.
Yeah, and, like, I felt like I had kind of just, I don't know, not, maybe numbing is the right word, but, like, I kind of just blocked off, like, the emotions and was like, okay, we'll figure it out. But, like, after that little, it's stupid, but after that little boat ride and, like, feeling that connection to the city more now, I was like, okay, this is, like, a real thing. And if you want to stay here, you have to, like, play the game, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, but I have to figure out what my part in that is, or, like, what we can do. And it's just, it's a lot more pressure now all of a sudden. But I think it's because I've taken down the wall that I was, like, blocking out all these things. And now it's like, okay, I have to face this, like, I don't know, this chaos or this stress that I've been just kind of pushing away. And it's like a real responsibility to, like, pick up all of a sudden and, like, figure out. But, like, I've done it before. Like, we've both been through a lot before to make things work. And
yeah, it's nothing that can't be done. I just think we've been living, like, an easy life for the past few months. And it's like, okay, we have to, you know, really get our life together again.
Yeah, and I think we both, like, in Texas, had just pushed ourselves to, like, this point of exhaustion and, like, burnout feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even just with jobs, just with, like, our, what we were doing there. And so we've been completely trying to enjoy all of what we have here now. And it's kind of time to, like, get back into, like, a little bit of the suck, you know? I don't know what else to call it, but,
yeah.
Like, just the stuff that's not, it's not super fun all the time, you know? Like, we have to now change gear and really go after that.
Yeah, there's got to be a balance for sure. But, yeah, I think we'll figure it out.
That sounded real confident.
No, I do, because I know how badly I want to stay here, and I know that when I want something, I make it happen.
Yeah, and, like, after this podcast, after we're done recording it, I don't know, I just want to research some of the laws about selling things, because, like, we can easily go sell things on the street, because people do it all the time in, like, really touristy areas, and, like, we have at least the prints or something we can get and sell, you know? And, like, people just, they'll get something, like, that's seasonal or for that time, and they'll just sell those too. And if someone needs it, they'll get it. Like, there's things you can do around here just to make quick cash, you know?
Yeah, I don't view my prints as quick cash, though. I think for me, like, that is my passion, and my photos are not fantastic by any means, but I'm definitely learning. So
I think, because everywhere that sells prints on the streets, it's like they just print it out and it's just from the internet, and, like, you can clearly tell it's not the greatest quality. But, like, I think you selling your own pictures you take is a different, it's just a different type of thing. It's like, this is my business, like, this is something I put a lot of work into, and I think people would enjoy those more. You know, it's not just like a tourist trap business.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely something I want to work more towards, and also hopefully get them available on our podcast website, on the air with Brett and Claire.com. Check it out if you haven't already. But yeah, we're just trying to figure it out. It's a lot, but we're working towards it every day in one way or another.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I want to just simplify, though, like where I'm at. Like, I don't know, I saw this clip the other day, but it was like, we're in our 20s. Like, this is what I got from it. It was like, we're in our 20s, and before this, like from 19 to 25 or 24, like, I feel like we push so hard to be where someone is when they're 50s or 60s. And like, I thought, like, oh, we've got to be at this level of success already, or like, this, whatever we do has to be, look really great and be put together. And now I'm realizing that, like, in our 20s now, like, and we're moving around more, like, I feel healthier, like, I feel more alive here. And I'm like, okay, this is the time to make mistakes. And so, but you know, it's like, they always say, like, success and failure, like, you have to fail to succeed. And the reason that you fail, or the correct kind of failing, is from taking risks, you know?
Yeah, it's supposed to be kind of messy.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to just forgive myself more and more, because it is a lot to just stomach all of a sudden. And it's a lot because I feel like we should already be at a certain place.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever, like, a crazy thing, like, crazy revelation that happens, really, like, to figure your whole life out, you know? I think we just have to take it a day at a time and do what we can to be able to stay here long term.
Also, we're just learning still. Like, we don't know how to just completely start a business, or like, it's just we have to jump into it, and that's the risk that we have to take, and you just have to learn it as you go, you know? And I think it's harder for me to just jump into stuff and not fully know how to do it, but I did that with my last job, and I had to learn everything myself and just watch other people do it and make a lot of mistakes with people. And, like, you know, I learned how to deal with that and take all that pressure. And this feels different, though, because, like, I did that for another company, and now it's like, we have to do it for ourselves.
But also, we did that even just by moving here.
Yeah, this was a huge risk. And really, I mean, it's like, it's all or nothing, like, do it or don't.
Yeah, which we've done the first part. We just have to get that second part going.
Yeah, I feel like, because, like I was saying, like, we were so burnt out, like, that we wanted to take a minute and enjoy this a little bit. And I think we've done plenty of that.
Yeah.
And, like, now it's time to really get down to business.
Yeah, which I think we're working towards.
Yeah, it feels like another, like, jumping off the cliff moment is coming up for some new venture or figuring something out. And because it's going to be messy and crazy, but, you know, it'll be worth it. Even if things don't work out, you know what I mean? Like, we still will learn so much.
Yeah. And we already have learned a lot. And one of, like, the pros I wrote down of living here was just, like, the hardness it kind of gives you, because I'm a nice person, I like to think, but also too nice, like, people pleasing, and just, I don't know, just too nice. And I think that can be a downfall when it gets taken too far. And I think moving here, I've learned how to be not mean, but, like, stand up for myself a little bit more and just not take as much shit from people, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, no, and that's been a great thing. Like, just the way you talk to people and interact is like, all right, what are we doing here? Like, let's do it and move on.
Yeah, not that I've become a mean person, but I think it's just helped me to not be as people pleasing.
Well, you don't, like, beat around the bush just to, like, make it seem like you're being nice. Mm-hmm. And then you still just do, it just takes longer to do what you needed to do anyways.
Yeah, there's just not, like, I mean, I'm not going to say they don't exist here, but there's not nearly as many, like, fake nice people here. So when there's a nice interaction, you know, like, they're being nice. Like, there's not as much pressure to put a smile on your face and, you know, interact with every single person you see, because people don't want that. And it's nice that they're honest about it here.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. And then I didn't write down any pros, but I just thought of this. The city here, like, if you've had a long day, you've been running around and you've been to multiple boroughs, and it's just like, you're just tired and you're like, you're far from home. Like, it's like, it, I don't know, it's, it can be easy in your head to be like, okay, let's just like get an Uber or whatever, but that's really expensive. And so pushing yourself just to like have to go to a bus or get on the subway or even just walk like 20 or 30 minutes to get home, like, it pushes you past that barrier we create in our heads where we just want to give up and like take the easy way out. And you're constantly facing that here where to do any little thing, like, you have to push through that barrier because it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
Like, even just going to the store and buying like something that's bigger and doesn't fit in like a carry bag easily, it's a pain in the butt to get it home. Like, even just groceries, if you get a bunch of them, it's harder to get them home because you don't have a car to just throw it in. Like, every little thing here, you've got to push past like that last gear you thought you had, you know?
And yeah, the city hardens you in a way that gives you strength. And I think for some people, it can be the opposite, because, I mean, not everybody loves New York. And I think for some people, it doesn't give them that same, like, superhero strength, I think. Yeah. But for me, like, I feel like it does give me that. And that's a big reason why I do love it here and I do want to stay.
Yeah, I think all the chaos and busyness of everything can be draining, or it can be a source of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like a source of energy from it mostly whenever we're like, if I'm getting tired in the day, or like, it just feels like we've done so much and but we still have half a day or whatever left. It's kind of, I don't know, I always just take a second and enjoy like the environment, like the buildings or the neighborhood we're in. And it's like, all right, let's go. Like, let's just, you got to do it. It doesn't matter how tired you are or what you feel or think right now. You just have to do it. And I'm always shocked that, you know, you can just do it. Like, if you just commit to something and do it and you don't overthink it and come up with all these excuses in your head why you can't do something, it's always way easier than you think to do something.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I always just, it's amazing to me, like, how many times I've had to do that here and or like feel that way. And once we get home after doing all this crazy stuff I didn't think we'd be able to do, it's nice. It's like, okay, we did a lot today. We achieved it. And you can lay down and like actually just feel like, okay, it's time to go to sleep, you know, like turn off your brain and go. Like, you don't have to worry about what you did or could have done that day, you know?
Yeah. And not to say that you can't do that literally anywhere else, but I think for me, I wasn't getting that sense of like accomplishment in Texas. And now I do have that. Even if we don't do anything super crazy, like, I still feel accomplished because there are more steps to take now just to get normal things done, like go do laundry or go to the grocery store. So
yeah, I think just for us in our case, it was a lifestyle change that had to take place to really help us get there, because in Texas we just had too many luxuries that made everything so easy.
Yeah, and I think that's been good. And so now the only part that we need to work through, which is obviously a big one, is just the financial piece of it. And like, how do we generate enough income to be able to stay here long term? Which I don't even know if this is interesting, but this is just like where we're at right now. And it's obviously a big thing in the forefront of our minds because we are at the halfway mark. And I think we just, I don't know, like, we went into it, I think you especially went into it being like, okay, we'll give it a year and see. And I, like, kind of acted like that's how I was going about it, but really in the back of my mind, it's like, from our first trip here, I knew I wanted to be here long term.
Yeah, no, I definitely think I was telling myself to some degree what I had to make myself, to push myself to do it, to just move here, you know? And now that we're here, I feel like I've been building up my mindset of staying here longer, which you've already had.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been tougher. And I think the first half, most of the first half, not all of it, but most of it, I've just been trying to enjoy everything and not think about it. But now I'm just at a point where I can't stop thinking about it. And like, even before we recorded this, I was like having a nervous breakdown about it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's just so much to worry about.
Which I don't think that's a bad thing, because like, stress and pressure creates great ideas and great outcomes, you know? Like, it's not a good thing to have no stress in your life, I don't think.
Well, yeah, like, and life is stress, and life is like, you're gonna go through things. Like, we should know that better than anyone at this point. But I still just, like, I think I just push things out of my brain so much to, like, to feel some kind of comfort for even just a short amount of time. And then once it all comes back, I feel it's like even more stressful because I don't know, it feels like a time crunch all of a sudden on the things that I need to figure out, or like it just, I don't know, whenever you push things away for a long time and then they, you finally come back to them and face them, it's like it was a monster that you just put in the closet, and it, the whole time you were ignoring it, it was just working out, eating, getting stronger, and it was just getting bigger. And now whenever you come and face it again, you're like, it's a totally different monster, it feels like, you know?
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's where I'm at right now. But yeah, I don't know, it's just, I've been kind of dreading this moment a little bit. I think like the, okay, we got to really just do stuff again like how we were, but new, and it's going to be a lot more unknowns. But I think that's also, I've been trying to look at the excitement of it, like the exciting side of it, because it's still the journey that we wanted to be on and that we're on. And it's still just like facing the unknown and doing and taking risks rather than for things that we want to do, you know, like, or the place we want to be, rather than be stuck somewhere that's, even though it's comfy, it's not where we want to be. And it's not the kind of life that we want to live or the kinds of jobs or things we want to pursue. You know, it's just to pay the bills and do what everyone else is doing. You know, it's like, that's not how we felt. And so it's just a weird, like, kind of paradox of emotions and thoughts where I still feel stuck in like the old world or the old understanding I had, but I'm like, I know this new way that I like this new realization. So like, I'm still trying to like almost mesh the two where it's like, I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, I'm just trying to like really bring back like my old, like, I'm going to do whatever I need to do, but also with the new screen of I'm going to do like it in my way.
Yeah. There just has to be a balance between the two.
Yeah. But yeah, I really think that, I just think like I've finally hit it where it's like, okay, now it's really time to figure this out and just go for it again.
Yeah, which I think is good. I think we've had fun, but I mean, we knew we couldn't just live that way forever. So yeah. It's like, okay, we had, you know, almost 6 months of like fun and working on the podcast. Like, I'm glad that we've, you know, been doing this, but now it's like, okay, we have to do some other things too. And that's fine, because that is life, obviously. Well,
we knew like we couldn't just do the podcast, because it's, podcasts take a long time to build. Build your
audience.
We're
not doing this like for the money. Like, we do it because it's fun, and hopefully the people listening get something out of it. And if it one day generates income, like, obviously that would be amazing, but it's not like our saving grace, like, financially.
Yeah, and like, we're not famous people or even really necessarily professionals in anything, so like, we're not gonna just get like this huge jump all of a sudden like a lot of people do, like big people do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's okay. Like, we're not expecting to just like have a full-blown like world famous podcast, like,
yeah.
And I don't even know if that's the goal, really. Like, I don't, it's not about that.
No,
like, we just want to do our thing. And like, Claire started a Substack, and she maybe hates that I copied her, but like, I started a Substack too. But I really only do it, or I want to do it, because it's, I want it to be like a journal, kind of like an open journal for everyone. Just if you enjoy it, you do, and if not, you know, you don't. But I don't know, I feel like I read things all the time where people are doing stuff that's, they're doing something that I wish I would have done or I could be doing. And like, I can be doing those things, but whenever you can share that with someone who's going through it, and you see that they're just dealing with it and they're just making those decisions, I don't know, I feel like it can be inspiring, but also make you feel like you're not alone. And so I hope that me writing down our experience here and what we're going through, even if it's not great at the moment, can be a source of, I don't, just like, so you don't feel like you're alone. You can just feel like, okay, they're going through this too. And like, you know, they hit road bumps, and it's not all sunshine and rainbows, you know, all the time.
Yeah. And I feel like we all know in the back of our minds that everybody's life isn't just amazing, but it's nice when people are honest about it.
Yeah. Like, and we're kind of like with the podcast thing, and like, it's almost like we're trying, like, we're not, I don't know, not like an influencer, but like someone you listen to and, you know, join their little community or whatever. And I want it to be a positive thing, and not, I don't want to create this idea that there's a reality that just doesn't exist that we're living in, you know?
Yeah, I feel like we want to be, like, obviously share good things and, like, talk about how to really just share our stories of, like, bettering ourselves and, like, hopefully give some tips along the way, but not create this, like, delusional reality that our life is amazing and we have no problems, because that's just simply not true.
Life's full of problems all the time, big or small. And I think that was a big inspiration to start this in the first place, was just, you know, we feel like we're pretty honest about, like, sharing with people at least what we're going through and, like, how life actually is. And I think we saw a lot of podcasts where people were maybe not necessarily being super 100% honest about how life is, and it was just like they were creating delusion about, like, self-growth in a way where it was like, oh, like, you don't really have to experience these things or what. I don't know, it just seems like unobtainable a lot of times the way people talk about it. And I think we just really felt we could share our experience, and after going through cancer and all this crazy stuff, it just was very apparent that, I don't know, I feel like whenever I had interactions with people and I would just talk to them about what I was going through, and, like, you could bring it around and, like, you could have a good conversation with someone and you both left feeling, you know, better about what was going on. And I was like, okay, we both were feeling like, oh, what if we had a podcast and, like, we could have that same effect, but just from people listening. And so I don't know, there was a whole lot that went into it, but it wasn't like kind of everything we've been talking about. It wasn't about just, let's do a podcast and become filthy rich, you know?
Like, yeah, just no. Not... I think it boils down to, like, we felt that we had some things to share, and that's all it is, really.
But yeah, I don't... New York City, though, like, living here and where we're at now, it's just a place that's not... It's not dark or anything, but it's just... I feel like we've come back down to a baseline, and it's time to just really figure it out.
Yeah, I don't feel that crazy about it. Like, we're literally fine, but it is time to, you know, just figure things out for the future and just to be able to make sure that we can make this work long term.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I know we're fine now. Like, I'm not concerned about that. It's just after what we have already set up and is, like, basically guaranteed in a way, as much as you can guarantee something, like, that's already done. Like, then what? I think it's the then what that
I'm really focused on. It's just time to start, like, preparing more for our future selves to be in a place that's comfortable and good and just maintaining, like, what we're doing now.
I don't even necessarily want to just be comfortable. It's just, like, I just want to have something to work towards, you know?
Well, yeah, I think you should always have that.
But that also sustained us, because, like, I've realized through this whole thing that if you don't have the motivation, which a lot of times you have to go out and, if you just, like, already have, like, the money you need for the next year or whatever and everything's taken care of, like, you don't have as much motivation to go out and, like, really push and do things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I really feel like just trapped between those two understandings and, like, what do we do now? So, but yeah, that's really...
I think we're in a good place right now because we're not struggling, but we also, it's like creating the motivation to figure things out. So I think it's a good thing. I don't, like, we're not, it's not a time to worry, but it's also not a time to be complacent. So I think 6 months was good and it's going to continue to be good, but we're going to buckle down and get things going more.
Yeah. It's like level two.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm excited. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm not, like, depressed or anything. I just, it's been a lot of, like emotional confrontation with myself, like, as far as, like, how I'm feeling about everything and, like, where we're at. So, but I'm excited to see what happens. And I don't know, I keep trying to psych myself up, like how we did when we moved here, where it's like, okay, time to take the next risk and just see where it goes. And, like, you have to take steps forward, and you aren't always going to know what is going to happen. You don't know if it's going to just be successful or if you're going to go backwards another 10 steps. Like, it just doesn't, like, that's life, you know? Like, and you can't just expect to always have a guaranteed step forward that's not going to go backwards, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's just a hard, like, it's just like a block in my head where I want to know the next, like move, but I want to know that it's going to work, and you're just never going to do that. So I think I just have to push myself again.
Yeah, unfortunately that's not possible. So, but we got this. We got this, and I'm sorry if this was like a downer of an episode, because it's not meant to be that way. It was just kind of a little therapy session. And yeah, we're just kind of filling y'all in on where we're at and where we're attempting to go from here.
Yeah. Is there anything else on our outline?
Not really.
Well, cool. I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else you want to share?
Not really. We just appreciate y'all listening. I'm looking forward to this next month of, I don't want to say no visitors, because like I love when people come to visit, but we have all of July to really just kind of get things on the right track and get things figured out. So I'm looking forward to like really settling into more of a routine, because like we do have a loose routine here, but especially the past couple months, it's been kind of all over the place. So
I'm just ready to have the freedom of mind and like time to really do what we need to do.
Yeah.
And not be concerned with being prepared for a guest or just running a bunch of busy work errands that aren't getting us where we need to be, you know, or be going towards what we need to be going towards.
Yeah, I'm just excited to focus on our future, really, and getting us set up to stay here long term. And not that that's an easy thing, because it's clearly not, but I'm just excited to work towards that and have some time to focus on all the different things we want to do this summer. So, yeah. But next week's episode will hopefully have video. I do apologize that this one does not. And it'll hopefully be about a more fun topic.
So, yeah, we'll have more, like, a more piece together episode. But also, I'm going to try to add my Substack, a link to my Substack on the website. We have some other stuff to figure out about the website, but that we don't know for sure yet what all that is. But just thank you to everyone for listening. How many downloads were we at? Like 3,400?
Something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. We're still going up in downloads and listens, and we really appreciate that. And again, if there's anything we can do to improve and or there's stuff you want to hear, just let us know. And yeah, check out our social medias and website, and just please keep listening. We love it.
Yeah, follow at On the Air with Brett and Claire on Instagram. Subscribe to the YouTube if you want, even though this isn't a YouTube video episode, but hopefully next week will be. Join us for book club on July 1st. It's a good book, 4-hour work week, and I think it pertains to really everything we talked about in this episode. So if you like that kind of conversation and want to find a way to like move past that, I think the book is a good one for you to check out. So definitely join us for that.
Yeah, I've read a little bit, like, and it is exactly what we're going through right now, and it's a great book, and it's really not that long, especially if you get into it. You can read through it pretty fast.
Yeah, so look forward to that book club episode. I know I am. And I think that's all we have for y'all this week.
Yep, thanks for listening, guys.
All right. Thanks, guys. We will see you next Thursday.
Bye.
Bye.